And because of June being Brides Month and Marriage Month, in the time remaining this afternoon, I want to talk about God's plan for our homes. Marriage was established by divine appointment to fulfill man's interest. God, after having created Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden, noticed that it was not good that the man should be alone, we read in Genesis 2, verse 18. So for man's good, God created a woman, brought her unto the man as a helpmeet, that is, one suitable, not a helpmate, but a helpmeet, one suitable to complete man. And marriage is designed by God to fulfill the deepest longings and needs of the soul of man. In marriage, a companionship and an intimacy are provided which assures man's stability of soul and assures man's happiness in this life. Realizing the benefits of the married state, Solomon wrote, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of Jehovah." Proverbs 18, verse 22. Because of the fact that man's highest good is involved in this sacred relationship of marriage, its sanctity is guided and guarded in Scripture for man's protection. Christ said in Matthew 19, 6, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Mankind's tampering with the laws of God regulating the permanence of marriage has made divorce easy, has made it common. Our world has forfeited its right to a great deal of the happiness that otherwise would have been available because they have not followed God's plan. Marriage directly affects one's relationship with God. One's marriage partner will serve to bring him closer to God or lead him away from God. The spiritual and emotional atmosphere of the home will make his attempts at doing the Father's will either more difficult or more pleasant. So marriage is not to be entered into lightly, but soberly and in the fear of God. At times, married couples find themselves having difficulty in making a go of it in their home. Yet they fail to seek help and proper counsel because our marriage is our business, they often say. It's nobody else's concern. But that's a terribly tragic attitude for one to have. For you see, friend, your marriage is everybody's business. Well, in what way? Number one, it's the nation's business, because every time a home is destroyed, the nation suffers indirectly. No nation can long survive with one of every three marriages, or maybe in some cases one in two, of these building blocks being destroyed or being damaged. Your marriage is the nation's business. And if there are children in the home, number two, your marriage is definitely your child's business. The soul of a child is very sensitive to domestic quarreling and disruptions. The child's soul can very easily lose its foundation for living in a home that fails. Marriage is very much a child's business. And then number three, marriage is very much God's business. God originated the relationship. God governs it by divine law. And God intends for it to serve the purposes of spiritual instruction and edification. So when a home fails, God is concerned. And friend, your marriage is everybody's business. Well, what is marriage? Every couple who is married or considering getting married should ask the question, what is marriage? And should hear its answer from the Word of God. Since the home is so important and basic to man's happiness, man must put a great deal of time and prayer and effort into its study and its development. Well, what is marriage? First, marriage is a divine institution. The first home was established by God Himself when He united Adam and Eve in the paradise of Eden. Marriage contracted in accordance with God's established law has always had God's approval and God's blessing. God has always done whatever He has been within his power to assure the success of the human home. Divine principles are given in the Word of God to govern its successful maintenance. Marriage is a cooperative venture with a Heavenly Father. You must never forget that it takes three to make a successful marriage: a man, a woman, and God. And as surely as God is left out of the home, it is doomed to failure. So first, marriage is a divine institution. Second, marriage is a permanent contract. It is for better or worse until death do us part. There has never been a time in the history of the world when God has approved a divorce. At one time in history, God allowed divorce because of the hardness of man's heart, but He's never approved it. In answering the question that was put forth by his critics, Jesus said unto them, "Moses, for the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it hath not been so." Matthew 19, verse 9. The man or woman who violates God's law governing marriage and its sanctity is destroying a divine institution. And God's punishment will surely rest upon anyone that tampers with His law or violates His will. Not only does the wrath of God rest upon those who destroy a home, but the reproach of a respectable society also abides with that person. Those who break the sacred vows of marriage are called adulterers and must bear their shame before honorable and godly men. Hebrews 13, verse 4 says, "Let marriage be had in honor among all, and the bed be undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers God shall judge." That's God's judgment on the matter. And again, we ask, what is marriage? Number three, marriage is a privileged relationship. Marriage is the most intimate of all human alliances. Paul comments on this fact when he said, "The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise also, the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be by consent for a season, that you may give yourselves unto prayer, and may be together again, that Satan tempt you not because of your incontinency." 1 Corinthians 7, verse 4 and 5. There's not only the sharing of physical experiences, but the sharing of spiritual experiences. Every joy or sorrow experienced by one partner to this divinely ordained relationship is also to be shared by the other. The two have now become one in the marriage relationship. And again, we ask, what is marriage? Number four, marriage is a solemn responsibility. This holy state of matrimony obligates two people to faithfulness, to love, to assistance. Wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. The Apostle Paul enjoins in Ephesians 5, verse 22 and verse 25. Two people who stand before God in human witnesses at the marriage altar are there committing themselves to a permanent love and sympathy for each other. Come what may, in spite of joy or sorrow, health or sickness, prosperity or adversity, they continue to love each other and be true to each other through every experience of life. The covenant of marriage also imposes a serious responsibility on the original couple for any children who may be entrusted to their care. The writer of the 127th Psalm said, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. To any children given a couple by our gracious Lord, the father and mother are obligated to provide protection, loving care, example, of a thoroughly Christian home." When parents stand before God in the judgment day and are called to give an account of the use of their time, use of their money, the use of their talent on this earth, they will also be called to give an account of their children's spiritual welfare. And then fifth, marriage obligates two people to God in a very direct way. Their home must be used as a means of accomplishing God's purpose on earth. A Christian home is an outpost of God in the frontier environment of sin and moral decay. The home must be used as a means of accomplishing God's purposes among men. If this be their joint purpose for life, God will bless a man and a woman in their life together as husband and wife, and He'll bless them with happiness. He'll bless them with spiritual prosperity. It's not an easy matter to accomplish these noble purposes in a marriage. It certainly will not come about accidentally that a couple will achieve these spiritual goals. It will only be the result of deep commitment and diligent hard work. In fact, preparation for successful marriage begins long before the actual day of the marriage ceremony. It begins long before the day of the engagement. It begins at the very earliest part of an individual's life as he assumes spiritual responsibility before God. So to sum up what we've noticed today, what is marriage? Well, marriage is a divine institution. Second, marriage is a permanent institution, a permanent contract. Third, marriage is a privileged relationship. And fourth, marriage is a solemn responsibility. And number five, marriage obligates two people to God in a very direct way. The way to have a successful marriage is to surrender to God. Have you made your surrender to the Lord? Believing that indeed Jesus is the Lord, will you then repent of your sins? Acknowledge that you're a sinful person, turn away from them. Christ now commands all men everywhere to repent, Luke 13, verse 3, because if we do not, we'll perish. And would you confess that Jesus is the Christ with a mouth? For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Would you then be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away, as He commands in Mark 16, verse 16. And then would you then faithfully live for the Lord? You see, the crown of life is awaiting those who are faithful unto death, Revelation 2, verse 10. Your speaker has been Ken Willis.